We talked about darkness. I spoke and I talked about darkness. And today we're talking about light. Light, hallelujah. Jesus is the light. And we are the light of him. So darkness is not nothing. Sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think that darkness is nothing. It's an environment that is very much alive and real, but devoid of light. And when we talked about this on Good Friday, we talked about in the beginning, darkness covered the whole chaos of the world. And God said, first thing he did, he said, let there be light. And who was that? Jesus Christ. It was a physical thing, but it was a spiritual thing. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Right? And physical darkness was separated by light. And when mankind sinned, spiritual darkness, I'm just wondering if it's spelled as badly up there as it is on mine. That's the Greek? No, it's not. Spiritual. Mankind sinned and spiritual darkness separated them from their creator. And so we were separated, and we just sung about how Jesus died and was resurrected, and because he's the resurrected king, we are resurrected as well. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to penetrate the darkness of sin through the cross. And mankind's spiritual darkness was transformed into the glorious light of redemption. So what does that mean? What does redemption mean? It means that you're no longer in a separated state from God our Father. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, shed his blood, and it went all dark. It went dark for, well, theologians are still struggling with this, how long it was. But we understand it as Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning he was risen. And so for those days it was dark. It was dark physically, because darkness came over the cross. It was dark spiritually because God had separated himself. And Jesus was in the dark tomb. And then he arose. And because he arose, we have received forgiveness. Amen. Grace, mercy, healing, and victory. Talk about the rising of the sun. We know this story, but I want to remind you of it because it's powerful. Matthew 28, it says this, after the Sabbath, they had this period of time when there was just nothing. They couldn't do anything because of the legalism of the Pharisees and the way the law was, and actually God had set that down so that there would be a Sabbath rest. But it would be so hard, I would think, knowing that Jesus was laying in this tomb and he wasn't even properly prepared. They just put him in the tomb and they rolled the stone in front of him, and yet they were not allowed to go and prepare his body because they knew he was dead. So after the Sabbath, at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. And I love this. He shook the earth when he died on the cross. And he shook the earth when he was raised from the dead. And he's going to shake the earth again when he comes back for his church. He's going to split the Mount of Olives in half. Boom. There's a violent. We've been maybe around some earthquakes, and they've been pretty violent, but this is going to be one shook throughout the world. And spiritually, it's going to be a powerful earthquake for people's hearts. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Don't you love that? He just kind of whipped her back, because the girls were saying, Mary's, They were saying, how are we going to rip that tombstone off of there? How are we going to get that thing rolled back? Because they weren't strong enough. And the angel, I don't know how he did it, but he probably just moved his hand. You know, like when you're in a hospital and you're in the ER and you want to go through those double doors, you just go like this, like that. He probably just went to the door, boop, and rolled away. And it doesn't ever say that it was again closed. It's an open tomb. When that tomb opened, light flowed in. Right? Light flowed in. And then he sat on it. When you're done with things, you just sit on them, right? Right? And it says that Jesus, when he was done, sat at the right hand of the Father. The angel, gleaming white. We had some awesome angels here. Those are great, great costumes. It says his appearance was like lightning. You ever been in lightning? That sheet lightning especially, where it just kind of opens up and everything just turns absolutely brilliant and you can't even see. And his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. So this is something spectacular. Don't be afraid. The angel said to the women, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Well, he's not here. He's risen. He is risen. There's nobody. There's no need for embalming because he's alive. Just as he said. Oh, people, this morning, we need to know that Jesus always keeps his word. He is the truth, just as he said. Christ said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Somebody said, Christ said it, whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. But believe it, that's the whole idea, is to believe that Jesus Christ has said these things, spoke these things, is going to fulfill these things just as he rose from the dead. So then he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples. I love this. That he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into the Galilee. You'll see him there. But he said to the ladies to go tell the guys. Who did he appear to first? He appeared to the women. He appeared to the women. And then he said, go see. Go tell them. It continues on and it says, and now I've told you, so that the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. When you are so pumped about Jesus in your life, sometimes he'll be there, sometimes you won't even recognize him. There's another instance when Jesus appeared to the men who were walking on Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize him. The women here didn't recognize him. Listen to the conversation that went on. Greetings, he said. And they came and clasped to his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said, do not be afraid. Jesus rose from the dead and destroyed the power of fear over us. Because Jesus and the Father are one, and God the Father is love, and love lives inside of you, and you can walk free from fear. Do you know that? You can walk free from fear. You can walk in victory. You can walk in confidence that God is your protector. He's the one that leads you. He's the one that guides you. He's the one that provides for you. Then Jesus said to the women, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and I will see them there. Sometimes when we think of darkness, we think that it's a state of nothingness. When we think about this, we think about the old The little seed in the styrofoam cup. How many of you did that when you were in school? Little seed in the styrofoam cup. How many of them actually grew? I wasn't a gardener. I still not. I kill things. This is the idea. Is we kind of sometimes think, well, you know, something deep in the dark doesn't have any life. But that seed is actually the best place for that seed to germinate, to come apart, to come the big strong shell that's protecting it, to be watered in that environment, to just have that softness of the soil, the moist soil, to just peel back that layer. Well, that's so much like Jesus. What he wants to do with the softness of his love is just peel back the layers. Peel back the layers. And sometimes you're still in the dark when that's happening. And then you start to move around. How many of you dug up the little seed because it's been 3 days already? Right? That is why it didn't make it, okay? You got to leave it alone, all right? You got to leave that seed alone. And Jesus wants to work on your heart. And sometimes it doesn't come out in a day or 2 days or 2 weeks or maybe even a year. But it does need this. It needs his watering. It needs his oxygen, which gives life. And it needs the right temperature. And when you're in the presence of God, those things are real. And it's interesting, if you did dig it up, and I know some of you did, it's pretty white and anemic looking, wasn't it? It wasn't green like this little picture of this sprout coming out of there. Because it hadn't got to the sun yet. It changes color there. When you pull it out before, it's still, the roots are still white. Well, roots aren't green. It's those things underneath the soil, those things that are getting the nutrients and are growing. They don't start to turn color. They don't start to blossom. They don't start until they get through the darkness into the light. Your life in Jesus Christ is like that. He is nurturing you. Some of you are here for the first time, and we're really thankful you're here, but God has been working in your life just like that little seed in there. He's just been kind of softening your heart. And you may feel that you're kind of in the dark to all these things. I'll tell you something right now. As Jesus rose from the dead, on Resurrection Sunday, you're going to rise out and see the sun. The S-O-N. And he's going to change you, and he's going to bring you to a place of strength, and he's going to make you fruitful and blossom in the beauty of his creation of you. There's a ministry of light. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says this, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, the things that we had in the dark. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, covered over, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of God, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves. You are not here this morning to hear me. You're here to represent and to get connected with Jesus Christ as a family of believers. And I have the privilege and the humble position to be able to talk to you about this. But we come to meet with Jesus. We come to meet with Jesus. So it's not our preaching, it's not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, who God has said, let light shine out of darkness. We need to be in this world. This world is just turning on its head. If you watch the news, you know that this world has got all sorts of corners where there's crises that could change the whole way we live from this point on. We have people that we need to pray for. We might even not like any of them, but we need to pray for them that they'll have God's wisdom and that they won't do something that will annihilate a whole nation or a whole group of people just because they have the power to do it. We need to let our light shine out of the darkness. He made his light shine into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Oh, boy, do we need to be people who have the radiance of Christ shining out of ourselves so that this world can see that there's light in the darkness. You are those people. This church and all the other churches that preach Jesus Christ, those people, everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ and forgiveness for their sins are people that are walking flashlights for him. And you poke holes in the darkness wherever you go. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. All you have to do is be. You just have to be. Sometimes we struggle with, I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is be yourself and Jesus. And people will see the difference and they'll be drawn to you. Then you don't have to have some big theological dissertation that you can just really walk, just wow them right out of the conversation because you know so much. All you have to do is, you know what, this is my testimony and this is what Jesus did for me. He can do that for you. He healed me. He set me free. He's changed my life. He repaired my marriage. He's done all sorts of things in relationships that have brought him glory. I can pray for you. That's as simple as it is. And it culminates with this. Paul says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all this, that all surpassing power is from God and not from us. Just think about it. Clay pots, clay vessels. Inside, it's a treasure. Watching television last night, and this guy, maybe you saw it, he runs a tank place, you know, old army tanks. And and you can pay like, I don't know, 60, 80 bucks, and you can run over a car with a tank. Now, that kind of interests me. You know, like I like that kind of stuff, or if I could blow it out, you know, maybe a mile and a half away, blow that same car away. That kind of stuff's cool. So they were taking that tank apart and doing some repairs on it, and they lifted up the fuel tank, and they could hardly lift it. And they didn't know what was in there. And during the war, they had looted the city, the people from that tank especially, and they put 5 gold bars inside the tank. And when they cut open the bottom of the tank and they thought maybe it was some weapons or something like that, and they started to pull these gold bars out. See, there was a treasure in a gas tank, a fuel tank. That was pretty exciting, probably $1.4 million or 1.4 million pounds, I don't know, but a lot of money. Everybody in the world's all excited about this. This is cool. And the guy was really pumped because he kind of hopes that he'll be able to keep it. I would like that. I would like $1.4 million just to kind of come and stumble across. But that doesn't even compare. Doesn't even compare with what's in your earthen vessel. You have the gospel. You have the provisions. You have all that is necessary. Because Jesus lives in you and he is risen from the dead. He's alive. The church is alive and it's on fire for Jesus. We need to be the people that touch others. We need to be the light in the darkness. Jesus led the way. This is an exciting day. This is an exciting day. We can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pastor Randy, if you'd bring your team. The The message of Jesus never gets old. The message of Jesus is alive. The Word of God, when you read it, is alive. And you need to read it every day. And if you have struggles, I encourage you just to get on your iPad or whatever and let him or let somebody on there read it to you. Get in a habit of doing that, because you'll find that the Word becomes alive, gets tucked inside of you. Then when you come into a situation where there's darkness, your light will be charged. Right? You need to get your batteries charged all the time. And you get them charged here. Hopefully when you leave here that you kind of feel like, hey, we met with Jesus and I'm pumped. But you know what? Your battery life doesn't last all week. But you can get pumped and charged first thing in the morning, in the middle of the day. You can connect with somebody and find that there's just this beautiful light that shines and encourages each one of us. We're going to worship here. I want you to stand. This is Easter Sunday. Actually, it's Resurrection Sunday. Maybe you have never accepted Jesus Christ, or maybe you don't even understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus Christ's death on the cross. We had it beautifully portrayed here, what he's done. Maybe you haven't allowed him or even knew that he could do that for you. Maybe your life is kind of like a real struggle. And you're here this morning and you just need to know if there's any hope. Yeah, let me guarantee you that there's hope. His name's Jesus. His name is Jesus. He is the hope of the world. He's a living hope. And so I just want you, just before we we join together here in worship, I want you to bow your heads with me. And I want everybody to say this prayer together. Father, we're here today to celebrate Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. In my life, Jesus, I need forgiveness for my sins. I need you to come into my life and take over. I'll give it all to you. I'll give you the good. I'll give you all the bad. I want you to be my Savior so I can spend eternity with you. I want you to be my Lord so that I can worship you and that I can serve you. And then I want you to be my friend, because I need a friend every day. A friend that loves me, accepts me, doesn't reject me, doesn't walk away because I've done something wrong. I accept the forgiveness for my sins that you provided by the death on the cross, your death. And I am so thankful, Jesus, that you are still not in the tomb. You're not on the cross. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. You are omnipresent. You're everywhere. You're here with us today. And we give you the glory and we receive you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 If you've made that a decision in your life, the first time, we have some material, we have some books and stuff, and we just want to get to know you.